You'll forgive me for sitting down today. I've had a cold and some other things, so I don't have as much energy to walk around as usual, but I am still very excited about the class. And by sitting down, I don't mean to communicate any kind of mellowness or somebody call me a professor. No, no, no. This topic is far too exciting for any of that stuff. Well, we finally made it to heaven. Now, we always talk about making it to heaven. Well, we've done it. We've gotten through 20 chapters of Revelation with scrolls, seals, horsemen, trumpets, beasts, bowls, the millennium, judgment day, and now we've made it to chapter 21, which is about heaven. Or as it's called in Revelation, and would actually be a more accurate title, New Jerusalem. So everyone take a deep breath and sigh. We made it! Okay. The next week we will close out by finishing out chapter 22. We will actually creep into chapter 22 today, but we will finish it next week. During next week, chapter 22 is not as long. I'm going to turn this off. We will have a question and answer session, Alan and I together. So if you had questions, I'm sure you might have had one or two over the course of the Revelation class. Bring them next week and we will try to answer them. Okay, Alan set everything up so well last week. All the enemies of the church have been destroyed. In chapter 19, the two beasts were destroyed. And in chapter 20, Satan and death itself. Well, Satan wasn't destroyed, but he was restrained. And death itself. I'm sorry, Satan was destroyed now too. Everything's destroyed. So there's nothing left. There's nothing left except the reward. And that's what chapter 22 is all about. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this class today. We thank you for the promise, for the hope that we have of being with you in the New Jerusalem. Father, we pray that we would really open our minds, open our hearts to what we're going to look at today and really just rejoice in what you promise us, what we are going to actually experience one day, that we can really look forward to it, that it can encourage us, that it can help us to remain faithful for the rest of our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Many songs have been written and sung about heaven. And we could have sung some of them today. I actually wrote a verse to a song we're going to sing at the end. We could sing all kinds of songs about heaven. All kinds of art and sculpture, painting have been made trying to picture heaven. And I could fill up my PowerPoint with just all kinds of stuff from the Middle Ages and the Renaissance from, you know, last week. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff about it. Much literature and poetry have been written trying to describe heaven. I mean, I could quote from the great poets and writers of all time about heaven today. And there are other places in the Bible that talk about heaven too. Some other places in the New Testament, some Old Testament prophecy. But you see, the clearest, the best description of heaven in the whole Bible is right here. Most of this stuff all goes back to what we're going to read today. So that's what we're going to look at. We're not going to look at all the other songs and all the other poetry and all the other literature. What we're going to look at is what the Holy Spirit gave to John the Apostle in 95 AD on the island of Patmos at the end of the book of Revelation to tell him what heaven was like. He wrote it down. He sent it to the seven churches. They saved it. And we can read it today. Amen? Amen. And what he describes is the New Jerusalem. What I would like to do is I'm going to read the entire description. And what I would like you to do in just a minute is to close your eyes and just listen. Now we'll go back through it in a minute. And you can take notes and you can look at it. And so don't worry about it. You won't miss anything. You get to go back through. We'll go back through it a second time. But the first time, I want you to close your eyes, and I just want you to listen. And I want you to hear the words and imagine what it's describing. Imagine what it will be like to actually go there one day. What it will feel like. What it will look like. Now, some of this language is symbolic, and it's just trying to tell us that it's really, really, really awesome. But some of it might be true in some quasi-literal sense. I mean, but let's just imagine, what is this communicating to us? How wonderful is this place that God has promised us going to be? So let's say, if you'll close your eyes, I'm going to read through the whole thing. Chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And He who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And He said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues and spoke to me, saying, Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels. And on the gates, the names of the 12 tribes of the Son of Israel were inscribed, on the east 3, on the north 3, on the south 3, on the west 3. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The wall was built of jasper, while the city was of pure gold, clear as glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysopase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, transparent as glass. I saw no temple in the city, for the temple is the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light all will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and His servants will worship Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And the church said, Amen. Amen. Well, that's it. The New Jerusalem. Let's go back through it slower. The first few verses of chapter 21. Well, actually, let's just talk about that for a minute. What an incredible place we just heard described in God's Word. I know all the troubles of this life are going to fade away, and we're going to be there forever and ever. This is what Jesus died on a cross to give us. This is what we have. This is what He has promised us. This is why we are disciples and why we follow Jesus. Because He loves us, because this is what He wants to give us. This is what He wants us to experience. Amen. This is an awesome thing. This is what we have to look forward to. Amen. Okay, in chapter 21, starting back in verse 1, He talks about a new heaven and a new earth. You know, elsewhere in the Bible, even earlier in Revelation 20, it says the old heaven, the old earth can be destroyed by fire. Somehow, the old earth is going to be wiped out by fire. I don't know if it means literally gone or it just means sort of scraped clean and starting over. But somehow, He's going to replace this world, which is corrupted by sin, with a new world, a new earth, a new heaven. It says it's a bride adorned for her husband. You know, you think about how beautiful brides are at weddings. Some of us attended the wedding of Andy Ayers and Beth Ann Sample last Saturday. And Beth was wonderfully adorned, I thought, in a modest yet beautiful wedding dress. And that's what the New Jerusalem will be like. It'll be like a bride, you know, just a woman at the peak of her beauty, you know, at her wedding for her husband. That's what it's going to be like. God is preparing. Jesus says He went there to prepare a place for us. You know, it's being beautifully prepared for us to go there. Amen? Amen. It also says here that God will dwell with us in the New Jerusalem. God will no longer be up there somewhere. He's going to be with us. He's going to be there in the city with us. And that's a cool thing. We will be His people and He will be our God. And it says in verse 4 that He will wipe away every tear. Every reason we have for crying or suffering will be wiped away. No death. There will be no funerals in New Jerusalem. No mourning. You won't have to bury. You won't bury anyone. No one will die. Eternal life. No crying, no pain. No one will get sick in New Jerusalem. There are no hospitals there. No one has to go to the doctor. No one has to take medication. No one has to, you know, walk on crutches or none of that stuff. No crying, no pain. No reason to cry. Nothing but the peace, the joy, the love, and the praise we will offer to God because He's given us all this stuff. And that's just amazing to think about. That verse 4. You could park on verse 4 and have your quiet time for a week. I mean, to me, that's just amazing. Verse 5, he again emphasizes all things will be made new. Behold, I'm making all things new. Everything will be fresh. You know, you know how springtime is when everything comes back out and turns green? And, you know, I love when it gets to late spring, when all the leaves are back in full, everything's in full bloom, and you have some rain, everything's all greened up again, and it warms up, it's no longer cold, but the heat of summer hasn't hit yet. That's what it's going to be like. It's going to be like that, the freshest part of late spring, early summer. Everything's going to be new. Romans 8:19 says, the creation itself longs for this day. The creation itself, which has in effect been affected somehow by sin, the corruption of sin, longs for the day when we'll be freed from that and creation itself will be renewed and freed from the corruption of sin. I don't know exactly what that means, but it's going to be a cool thing. It's going to be a cool thing. It says these words are trustworthy and true. We can rely on what this says. We can rely on what God is promising us here. We can be sure that this will really happen, that we will really get to go here. It says we'll be given water from the spring of life without payment. You know, Jesus has already paid the price in full for our eternal life. You know, He's already paid it. We don't have to pay anymore. You know, the Collier family went on a vacation. We went on a cruise to the Bahamas. And we bought, unlimited beverage. So you could go and get soda anytime you wanted, without having to pay. Well, we paid for it up front. But, on the ship, you could just go and get unlimited soda. Well, it's something like that and even more so. It's like unlimited from the river of life. Eternal life. Just all the nourishment, your thirst quenched fully. It's just hard to imagine how good this is going to be. Amen. Verse 8. I did not read verse 8 when we went through it, but we need to read verse 8 right now. Okay? Bam. Okay. Okay. But for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. So there is a warning here still, sort of reminding us back in chapter 20 of the last judgment, that this place is only for those who overcome, which is what it says in verse 7, conquers or overcomes. You can't go to this place if you remain in sin. If you refuse to repent of your sin, if you refuse to respond to Jesus, if you never claim the gospel and what he's offered you, if you just remain in your sin and just stay there and don't respond to Jesus, that this is a warning. There are people who will not get there. Your name has to be written in the book of life to make it to the place we're talking about. And that refutes a lot of theology out there. A lot of churches will tell you all roads lead to heaven, everyone gets to go to... No. Right here, Revelation 21, verse 8 says no. Everyone doesn't get to heaven. Here's the description of heaven, the sinner description of heaven in all of the Bible, and it says no, not everyone gets to go there. So that's a warning. We have to remember that, and we have to think about that for our friends and our loved ones and our neighbors and, people we work with, We don't want them to end up in verse 8. We want them to go to heaven with us. Amen? Amen. Enough about verse 8. Okay, into verse 9. Again, it says that the New Jerusalem or the church that will live there, I'm not sure, sometimes the images in Revelation get kind of overlapping, is the bride of the Lamb, the bride of Jesus. I think it was in 19, chapter 19, it talked about the wedding supper of the Lamb. When we first get to heaven, I think there's going to be some kind of giant party, some giant wedding supper as the church arrives in heaven, the bride of the Lamb. It's going to be something incredible. You've never been to a party like God can throw in heaven one day. I can't imagine what that's going to be. And it's going to be festive and decorated and, it says here it's radiant or it has radiance like that of a rare jewel. I don't know if you've ever been to the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C. They have the Hope Diamond there. It's a 33-carat blue diamond. It's amazing. But it's nothing like this is going to be. That's what it's talking about. We went to, we saw the crown jewels in London a couple of years ago. They have the Star of Africa, the largest diamond ever found. It's in Queen Victoria's imperial crown or something. It's like 80 carats or something. It's just gigantic. But that's what this is like. It's like the radiance of a rare and precious jewel. He's just using whatever images he can to convey to us that this is an incredible place. An incredible place that we really, really, really want to go there. We don't want to miss out on this. That would be really bad to miss out on this. He talks about, the city is, the walls are the 12 tribes of Israel and the foundation are the 12 apostles. And I think he's just saying, this is all built on the foundation of the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. That's how we get there, is the foundation of our faith built on the Bible that we know that God has been reaching out to his people throughout history. Through the patriarchs, through Moses, through the apostles, through Jesus. He's just saying this, that's what this city is built on. It's the foundation of faith that we have and all that God has said to us through the centuries. He talks about the gates. People talk about the pearly gates. Well, this is where it comes from. Right here it says, each of the gates is made of a single pearl. It's not gates with lots of little pearls. It's a gigantic pearl somehow that's a gate. I don't know, that's probably just an image, but... a symbol, but somehow the gates, are shining like a pearl. And then he says the street. And by the way, it only says one. We often say streets of gold, but it literally only says one. But maybe it has more than one street. I don't know. But it says it's gold, transparent as glass. Again, I don't know if that's literal, and that's we literally walk on gold there on the street, or it's just an image for the most precious thing that we can think of. And the most precious thing we can think of in this life is up there, just what they pave the streets with. That's how amazing the place is. But it says, you know, that there's a street of gold. That's the main street. You know, brothers and sisters, if we remain faithful, we will walk the street of gold. You know, it says pure gold, transparent as glass. You know, just to think about that. One day you get to walk in this city. One day you get to experience all that this is describing. But that's what God offers us if we remain faithful to Him. You know, all the struggles we go through in this life, when we focus on this, you know, it's worth it. You know, I mean, yeah, I know some of us face some difficult challenges, and through the rest of our life we'll face some difficult challenges, but, you know, nothing is worth giving up on this, on what God has offered us. So let's say this together out loud. Ready? We shall walk the street of gold. That's a cool thing. We shall. You could say that. You can make it personal. I will walk the street of gold. Just remember that. That's going to happen. If you remain faithful to God, that's what He is working to get us to. That's where we are headed. That's our destiny. That's the promise of eternal life. How am I doing? Verse 22 says there's no temple because we worship God in person. God Himself will be there. He doesn't need a temple to remind us of Him. He will be there. We will worship Him in person, like in His throne room, like it's described early in Revelation. I mean, this is a new place. It's New Jerusalem, so it's not exactly the same as chapter 4, but it's something like that. We will worship God in His presence, and the Lamb will be there too. There's no need for light. God's light will fill the whole city. There's no need for a sun or a moon or any of that stuff. God will provide its light. It says, I guess I need to move up. It says, the glory and the honor of the nations will be brought into the city. Now, I don't know what that means, but somehow, something from earth, the good parts of this life will be brought there and preserved. Maybe they'll have a museum, you know, and then you can go in the museum and you can see the good stuff from this life that will be preserved there. I don't know. I'm not sure. I always wonder what this means. You know, does this mean the best things of the United States will be preserved? And the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights will be sucked up into heaven and it'll be right there where you can see them. You know, I don't know. You know, the Civil Rights Act of 1964, it'll be sucked up in there and you can see it. I don't know if that's what that means. You know, the Magna Carta and the first folio of Shakespeare, they'll suck it right out of the British Museum and there it will be in heaven for us to enjoy. I mean, that's why it says the glory and honor of the nations. I don't know, but something like that. You know, the Mona Lisa and the Eiffel Tower will be sucked up from Paris. Maybe the Taj Mahal from India, or the Great Wall of China, or Angkor Wat with the jungle still growing in it from Cambodia. I don't know what that means, but somehow the glory and the honor of the nations, the good parts of life here, will be preserved for us to enjoy or to see or to, I don't know, but that's what it says. They will bring into it the glory and honor of the nations. So that, to me, that's a cool thing. And then it says, nothing unclean, detestable, or false will come into the city. Brothers and sisters, there will be no crime in New Jerusalem. There will be no crime. There will be no unsafe parts of town that you can't go into. There will be no alleys that you'll go, I don't know if I want to sort of hurry past this alley. There won't be anything like that. There will be no one to fear because there will only be God, the Lamb, angels, fellow disciples. You know, it'd be like, sort of we get a glimpse of this maybe when we go to the swamp, or we get a glimpse of this when we go to a church conference, or when we come to church on Sunday maybe. There'll be no crime, nothing to be afraid of, nothing to worry about, nothing to be anxious about. Only good stuff and good people will be there. That's just amazing to think about. Verse 22, or chapter 22. It says, the water of life will flow down the center of the main street of the city. The water that of life, the water that gives us eternal life. You know, Jesus said He would give us from this water and that it would flow up in us forever and we would live forever and ever. So this is, maybe we literally have to drink of this water to get eternal life, or maybe it's just an image that life is going to flow there forever. We will have eternal life there. That's what it promises in John 3:16. You know, we'll have eternal life. And that's where we will have it, in New Jerusalem, where we will live with God forever and ever, enjoying this stuff. It says the tree of life grows there on either side, you know, yielding fruit each month, 12 different kinds of fruit. Again, I don't know if it's literal, and just like in the Garden of Eden, there'll be a tree of life that we can eat from and have eternal life from its nourishment. Or maybe it's, again, maybe it's just a symbol of the eternal life we'll enjoy. But the symbol is that there'll be abundance. There'll be plenty to eat if we need to eat there. You know, all our needs will be taken care of. You know, sort of like being on vacation in one of those places where all the food and drink is free. You've already paid for it in advance, so you just eat and eat and eat. It was like that on the cruise ship. You know, you could just eat and eat and eat all day. Well, you know, it'll be, all our needs will be taken care of. There'll be plenty to eat, plenty to drink, if we need to eat and drink there, whatever we need, it'll be provided in abundance, in rich, good, high quality. I'm sure God doesn't make second-rate, you know, food or whatever. And it says, the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. You know, the healing of all the hurts and pains and griefs of this life. The tree of the leaves will heal us. Heal us of conflicts. You know, heal us conflicts between nations, you know. Up in the New Jerusalem, bitter enemies like Israelis and Palestinians will be together. Or, you know, any other bitter enemy you can think of. Catholics and Protestants from Ireland. I don't know. Whoever else in the world you can think of bitter enemies in history or in the world today. They will be healed. The conflicts will be healed. We'll be united. There'll be peace. And in our own lives too. Conflicts we've had with other people. You know, those will be healed. And we'll be united with each other. There'll be peace. There'll be no conflict. You know, no war, of course, nothing like that. They won't have any lawyers or judges there. You know, there won't need any disputes to resolve. You know, I'll be out of a job. Right? Says there will, nothing will be accursed, or in the NIV it says there will no longer be any curse. Okay, the curse I think it's talking about, and most commentators think it's talking about, is the curse of sin. The fact that in this life we are under the sentence of death because of sin. That will be taken away. And, you know, it's already taken away if we've been saved through Jesus' death on a cross. And when we get to New Jerusalem, it's completely erased. It's gone. We have eternal life. We're no longer under the sentence of death that comes from the sins in our lives. They will have been totally extinguished. And as it says in 1 Corinthians, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And Paul is speaking of this day. He says, then will come to pass. He's speaking of this day when we enter New Jerusalem. Death will be swallowed up by victory. We will have victory in Jesus. And then it says in verse 4, we will see His face. You know, brothers and sisters, no one has seen God's face except Jesus. Moses couldn't see God's face. He asked and God didn't let him. He was only allowed to see His back. No one has seen God's face. I mean, Isaiah saw sort of God, had an image of God from a distance and he thought, oh no, woe is me. You know, no one has seen God's face. But in the New Jerusalem, we all get to see God's face. We get to look at God face to face. That's an amazing thing. Imagine being able to do that and what you will see. I mean, God's power, but in the New Jerusalem, God's power won't be scary. It will fill you with a sense of safety and security because this is your God. This is your, you know, the one in charge of the city you're living in, and He's all powerful. There's no, and there's nothing that can ever harm you in that city. you know, all-powerful God, but there to protect you, your Father, to take care of you. You will see His holiness and His righteousness, but you will have been made holy too. It won't be scary anymore. It'll be a great thing. Yes, the one who is in the mayor of our city is a perfect, almighty God. And you will see His love. You'll be able to look in God's eyes and see the tremendous love that caused Him to send Jesus to die for us on a cross. You know, it's amazing that we will be able to look into God's face and see all that. It says His name will be on our foreheads, you know, Yahweh or whatever. It will be, you know, I don't know. But we will be His people. You know, it says that many times through the Bible. I saw it again today in 1 Peter. It says, you know, they will be His people. They will be His treasured possession. That's what He wants. He wants us to be His people. You know, to be His, that He will take care of us, that He will give us all these blessings. Then it says, we will reign forever and ever. Amen. 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 This is good stuff. This is good stuff. Well, I'd like to close with a song. I wrote a verse to a song. Is that okay? Okay, now, the song, I will stand up for the song. This song, you know, this is a song we sometimes sing it around. And it normally starts out, peace, 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 peace. The gospel in a word is peace. Peace that passes understanding. Peace, peace, peace. Okay, but I've written a new verse that's about heaven. So can y'all sing that? It's up there. Can y'all sing that with me? I'm not a real good song leader here. But let's go through it at least twice, okay? You ready? Hope, 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 hope. The gospel in a word is hope. We shall walk the street of gold. Hope, 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 hope. Hope, 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 hope. The gospel in a word is hope. We shall walk the street of gold. Hope, hope, hope. We actually have a couple extra minutes. You want to do it in a round? Okay. Peter, can I get you over here? Todd, can I get you over here? Okay. To the right of this aisle, you are group one, okay? Both lower and upper. So you're going to start, right? You're going to start. We're going to sing through it three times. And you guys will start. Hope, 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 hope. Okay? Group two over here is with Peter. And you're the left of the aisle, lower and upper, okay? You're group two. As soon as the group one finishes the first line and starts in the second line, you're going to start. So when they say thee, you're saying hope. Right? You follow? So they'll sing the first line, and then you'll come in when they get to the second line, and you'll start. Peter will start, get you going. Then everybody between the aisles, you're with me, and you're group three, okay? And we won't start until these guys get to the third line, and these guys get to the second line. You got that? Is that confusing enough? Okay. We have the technology. And we're going to sing through it three times, okay? So sing out now. We're smaller groups, so you can't just whisper. Okay, you ready?
Oh, oh, oh. Street of gold, hope, 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 hope. The gospel in a word is hope. We shall walk the street of gold, hope, 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 hope. Gospel in a word is hope. We shall walk the street of gold. Hope, hope, hope.
Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, we are just amazed at what you promise us. God, we are overwhelmed at your love, that you would offer this to us, sinners like us, that we could have this to look forward to. God, that we can walk the street of gold, that we can be in New Jerusalem, where you will be our God and you will take care of us. God, we look forward to that day. Father, I pray that everyone in this room would make it to New Jerusalem. I pray that everyone who listens to this message at some point on tape would make it to New Jerusalem. And Father, I pray that we could bring as many people as possible with us, God. We love you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's go get our kids and we'll have church in a few minutes.